it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeff Hathorn, our sports director, joins us now. Good morning, Jeff. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. The best where the show's is like next on Gilmore Girls. Yeah. has a tough night trying to figure out if Brad really likes her.
Jeff, you know who had a tough day on Sunday? I almost slipped up and said Saturday again, which Texter said I did it before. It's because I got Brawl on my mind. Great. West Virginia can lose by a million. Anyway, Broderick Jones, bad day. Do you think the Steelers, with a couple more bad Broderick Jones performances, would consider benching their left tackle?
I think they would, but I don't think they're there yet at all. Let me make that clear. They're not there yet at all. But if he has, you know, four or five more in a row of what we saw yesterday, they've got to consider options because it just, or yes, on Sunday, they've got to consider options because it wasn't good. I mean, he got beat inside and outside. Now, listen, I think there's some talent on that Jets DN group. That needs to be stated here, but I mean, Broderick just wasn't good enough.
Who do you think that they would put in? Who do you think it would be? Andrus Pete? Do you think it'd be Calvin Anderson? Who do you think, and what direction would they go? Could they be searching for maybe a trade opportunity for another tackle at this point?
I mean, we're getting a little down the road, but I think internally Calvin Austin is their swing tackle. So I think he would probably get, and this is a guy who started in the league. And I don't think they would mess with Fautanu at this point. I think he stays on the right side, but I mean, again, it's early. It's hopefully there you see a ton of improvement. Like you want to see from the defense that you also see that from Broderick on Sunday.
I'm sorry. I just pictured Calvin Austin.
Yeah, you said Calvin Austin, not Calvin Anderson.
Oh, I'm sorry, Calvin Anderson.
And I pictured Calvin Austin. I was like, oh, man, that poor guy.
We all knew what you meant. But that would be something.
That would be something.
Arthur you know Smith in his
you know
bag.
What's interesting? In the locker room, it's Calvin Austin, Mason, and then Broderick. So when Mason's not there, it's like one huge dude and Calvin. And it's like, I wonder if Calvin's like, Broderick, just sit down. Just when you're at your locker, just always sit down.
Like J.J. Watt and Ian Eagle, did you see that picture?
I did see that. And
yes.
My buddy called it out when we were watching at the restaurant. And I said, Ian, he got to be sitting down, right? He wasn't sitting down. Jeff,
I was watching the game back yesterday, and Leslie's like, is he standing? Unfortunately, he is.
Yeah. Yeah, JJ, a big man. Jeff, they obviously have a lot of faith in Troy Fautanu, and we heard from you and others how much faith that they had in Calvin Austin III. Haven't heard the same kind of whispers about Broderick Jones, so obviously it did not go well on Sunday. And you say they're not going to, you know, pull the trigger on benching him anytime soon, but do they have an internal belief that he will ultimately be the long-term answer at left tackle, do you think?
I mean, I think they wanted to believe, and that some of the things you saw in camp, you're like, okay, because the last couple of practices of camp in Latrobe, like even the most critical fans that saw went, all right, there is some improvement.
Right.
When you watch the preseason games, there wasn't anything that was like, oh man, now you have to consider the competition, but let's just take it at face value. The people he went against, he did a pretty good job. So you thought, all right, he's getting it on the left side. And maybe this is just one game. Maybe this was just because of the opponent, because of who it was. But I still think there is confidence. But again, if you were to stack a month or so of those performances, I think you've got to consider options.
Jeff, do you have confidence in this defense and defensive line fixing the issues that they had on Sunday?
Man, Patrick Queen, I think, laid it out pretty well. Like, they keep playing like that. It's going to be bad news. I mean, at some point, you're going to add Derek Harmon. So that's gonna help this group. I think we saw a few times that Peyton Wilson was either chasing or out of position. Like there are things when they watch the film back, I think they're gonna go, okay, we did this, and all right, this was great. Like, just stay in your gaps. Don't make hero plays. Like, do what you need to do. I would say initially, wouldn't they have loved to have a Landon Roberts for that game on Sunday? Mm. I mean, that is a piece that I look at and say, and Malik Harrison is hurt, so I don't know what his availability is going to be like for the next couple of weeks. But you hope it's just some of those things. And I will say this too. I mean, if Breece Hall played for a winner, everybody would know his name.
Yeah.
I mean, some of those cuts he made were elite NFL running back cuts. And then he's got that burst. And as he's hugging Aaron Rodgers, you think Aaron's like, dude, you want to come with me?
Yeah.
Right?
Guy's a stud.
Because the guy, I think the guy is legit.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Hotline, that's where we find Jeff, is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. I hate putting you on the spot like this because Tomlin is going to speak at noon today, but you think there's a decent shot Harmon plays in this game?
I think there's a decent shot. I think he's going to leave the window open for the week, see how the week plays.
Door ajar, leave a light on for him, that kind of thing?
Yes.
Let participation be their guide?
Yes, that's the one. Participation will be the guide, and we'll see. I mean, we haven't seen him out on the field, but I don't think it's out of question that he could play. But you guys can kind of figure it out. Like Herbig last week, limited, limited, limited. If it's limited all week, you kind of know the answer even before it comes out. But that would be a welcome addition to that front.
What about, in anticipation to Mike Tomlin's press conference, what about Joey Porter Jr. or Deshaun Elliott?
Yeah, we never really even got an injury for Porter. We know it was left leg. Hopefully it's just something he tweaked. Elliott, man, knees can be so tricky because, as you guys know, you could see a guy walking around
right
with a knee and think, oh, okay, he's fine, and he's done. So I don't know. And there was no... we talked to a couple of guys. Thornhill said yesterday that he was hoping that, you know, he would come back quickly. So we don't know at this point. But, yeah, and I'll quote Thornhill again. He's like, man, we just got out on the field with all of us. And then all of a sudden we're without Elliott. And I will say I think Juan and Clark made some plays in the backfield filling in.
Do you expect them to sign a safety or a corner today or tomorrow?
I guess it'll depend on the severity here. Mm-hmm. But I think they like their I know people worry about Pierre, but that's someone that they've always liked. And I don't know what Trice's availability would be, but I think they have a couple of options there. But safety, I think – I mean, and you also have Beanie as a guy who's played games for you if you just want to move Ramsey around.
Oh, great. Put a microphone in front of him brawl week. I'm sure he won't – friggin' say anything that'll
it's funny he came into the room late and it was almost like, oh, sorry, the room is closing, you can't go talk to Beanie.
Thanks to Bert for not giving Pitt any more bulletin board material for the game. Jeff, it was obvious, I thought, and I wasn't there, so this is why I want to ask you about it. It was obvious to me that not only can Rodgers play, but that there is a belief 1 through 53 that he is the right guy, and the reaction, not just from Rodgers, but from the sideline when he threw that touchdown pass. Like, I bet you if you walked in there, maybe you have, and you talked to every guy, they believe they've got a quarterback.
Yeah, I think the reaction is as much for Rodgers as that it was Skowronek with the first touchdown. Those guys, I know people get tired of hearing about him, but they love this guy because of how hard he plays and what he's willing to do. If I mean, you watch a couple of those run plays to steal. I mean, there's Skowronek right up in there in the middle of the defense making plays. But to your point with Aaron, I mean, we had been seeing some of that, but it was the most Ben-like performance we've seen from a Steeler quarterback since that. I mean, finding open receivers. It didn't matter who it went to. Being able to hold guys with play action, even when the run game wasn't going. He's still technical enough to be able to do that. And then a couple of those throws, I mean, his arm strength is still there. And you guys saw that in that game. I mean, he's still got it. And man, the receivers made some plays. Calvin Austin, that combat catch near the goal line. I mean, that's a legit play. I mean, I thought they executed really well. And I think he and Arthur obviously seem to be on the, it's 1 week, but seem to be on the same page. I think Arthur called a good game as well.
Yes, he did. Jeff, this was really good. It always is. We appreciate your time, and we will talk to you on Thursday pre-Brawl and pre-Stillers Seahawks.
Big weekend. Big weekend. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it. Thanks, boys.
Yeah, me too.
Thanks, Jeff.
See you, Jeff. Jeff Hathorn, our sports director. Find more Jeff's goodies on 93.7thefan.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.